Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from the SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling, and make sure that you subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you in part by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get Roman.com/SGP. Get you $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is your home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Football fans, it's time to go on the record for this week's matchups in pro and college football with just one catch. We're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close? If not, pull the outright upset. Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now, here's your host, TJ Reed.
Indeed, we have entered a brand new month. We have concluded the NFL draft, but we are ready to rock on with much more in the recap mode of that. We've got NBA information and underdogs coming straight ahead if you're looking towards Thursday, Friday, and this weekend. We're glad that you found us here on the only digital radio show that's devoted exclusively to those dogs. We love the underdog angle, the less thought of, the road team in a lot of cases, not given much of a chance to win the game, but sometimes they can cover and keep it close. It's what we do on Three Dog Thursday. I am merely the somewhat capable host. Straight ahead, Brian Edwards, senior handicapper, Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com will be right here on the program to give insight on the draft and the NBA. Later on, lots of conversation on our YouTube roundtable. In terms of boxing in particular, the Canelo Alvarez unified super middleweight title fight, AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Saturday night, they're going to have 60,000 and maybe 65,000 plus in the biggest attended sporting event post COVID-19 pandemic and shutdown of everything last year. As fans begin to come back to everything, we've seen it with NFL games with limited fans at some of them. We've seen it now at Major League Baseball with limited fans, some limited fans in hockey and basketball. Kentucky Derby had over 50,000 people at Churchill Downs last week. And now this fight with Canelo, one of the top names in boxing for the last decade in action. Lots of conversation about that coming up on the roundtable. Reminder real quick, however you found this show, whether it's a social media link or through the Sports Gambling Podcast network of shows, Sports Gambling Podcast. .com with Ryan Kramer, Sean Green, and those guys. Make sure you subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts to Three Dog Thursday. Find us. I know on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, they're saying follow the podcast now. You don't have to pay to subscribe on Apple or on Spotify, but follow us on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts, search Three Dog Thursday. And the same with the YouTube channel, subscribe there. And you will get the content automatically when it's new. The video content in our middle roundtable segment comes automatically to your phone, your iPad, if you subscribe to our stuff. So subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You are good. And with that, let's bring in from Vegas Insider, senior handicapper of Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com, and a smiling Brian Edwards as an Atlanta Falcon guy, because you are not burning your Steve Bartkowski jersey. You're not tearing up your Falcon card. My friend, it is good to have you off of the draft where they got your guy, the Florida Gator, the tight end, Kyle Pitts, with the fourth overall pick. So you're smiling ear to ear. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm outstanding, and my Hawks are surging and getting healthy. I don't have to turn in my Jesse Tuggle paraphernalia. I'm all good, bro.
All right. So a lot to get to on the draft. I mentioned some NBA conversation. Brian is just amped up to talk about some of these teams that are doing well. Let's begin. The draft played out pretty much as we thought at the top in the first five, like everybody thought, with three quarterbacks right in a row. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. As it turns out, Trey Lance is the 49er pick. Quick pop quiz puts you right on the spot. Did the 49ers make a mistake with Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback, at number three, instead of Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback who they could have taken, Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, the former Georgia quarterback who transferred the Buckeyes? Did the 49ers get it right first blush before we see any of this, or do you believe they got it wrong before we ever play games?
Well, obviously only time will tell, but I'll say they got it wrong. They gave up with three – well, they moved down – or they gave up this year's first rounder and two future. That's three – that's too much. Too much for me. Well, I mean, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but we don't know. None of us know, really. I mean, you know, 17 games at FCS level. We shall see. I'll say no.
All right. And again,
I tell you what, it took brass ones to do it. Brass ones.
And the trade up with the Miami Dolphins was three spots, clearly for a quarterback, but to not pick the two guys that are from the brand name schools, including Mac Jones from Alabama. Interesting. He was still there for the Patriots and Bill Belichick at 15 to take a quarterback in the opening round in an interesting quarterback room where you've got War Eagle, Cam Newton, and now Roll Tide with Mac Jones. Did you know, Brian Edwards, did you hear the stat? That is now 12 times Bill Belichick has drafted an LSU or Alabama Nick Saban player. Not all of them at Alabama, but 12 times he has picked a Saban player because Saban was his former defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns 25 years ago. How about that with the love fest continuing with those two?
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, he annually takes a lot of SEC players in general. I didn't realize it was that many on, you know, Saban from LSU Bama. But, I mean, he usually half their draft is SEC guys, and who can blame him?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, once again, it's 60, 70 SEC guys that are going in there at all the different schools. All right, so let's get into it a little bit more because you had some under-overs. You hit on Devontae Smith under the 11. You kept preaching that under the 11th selection, just barely coming in with the 10th pick by the Eagles. I have a couple thoughts on that, and I think everybody knows where I stand. What is your thought? Devontae Smith to the Eagles there as the third receiver taken off of the top 10.
Well, he's the best receiver in the draft. I said before the draft, I think Kyle Pitts and Devontae Smith are the most likely Hall of Famers. I think he should have been the first wide receiver off the board. Good for the Eagles.
And interesting that Jamar Chase, the LSU receiver, did not play this past season. He goes 5 to the Bengals like we theorized. And then Jalen Waddle off the injury gets paired up with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami as the next receiver taken. But the Eagles go ahead and pair Devontae Smith with Jalen Hurts. I thought that was interesting too, real quick, Brian.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not like dogging on the Dolphins. I think Waddle's going to be terrific as well. I just think Devontae is going to be a little bit better. But Waddle works fine. I'm not taking a knock at the Dolphins. And I'm not taking a knock at the Bengals either because Jamar Chase and Burrow have that built-in chemistry. I'm not knocking Waddle or Chase. I think they're both going to be really good, but Devontae is the man. He's like, I don't want to say he's the next Jerry Rice because there's only one Jerry Rice, but this
sure.
Devontae is the man.
And he's not as big as Rice. And even Rice, by the way, wasn't a top 10 pick. He was taken later in the first round by San Francisco, late in the first round out of Mississippi Valley State. And I am not saying he is not going to be the imposing receiver that, let's say, a Randy Moss, a Terrell Owens, the bigger guys like Julio Jones, his contemporary from Alabama that went in the top 10. But you are kidding yourself if you don't understand how explosive he is, what a route runner he is, attention to detail. Let's just see that marriage in Philadelphia with Hurts. Again, as we talk with Brian Edwards here, you're smiling. We'll stick with the Alabama theme. You and I did not go to Alabama. We're not on their payroll for their sports information staff, but they just continue to churn out picks in the first round, including Najee Harris. And I believe you got the under on the under over for Najee Harris going to the Steelers, Brian.
Yeah, I did. I got it at 29.5 about a month ago, but I even put a little more on it at 24.5 because I was convinced he wouldn't get past the Steelers. So by the hair of my chinny chin chin, did I hit a couple of those, but I went undefeated on my draft bets, which is a first. Not that I betted a whole lot, but I had Devontae. I got Pitts under 5.5 a while back. And I recommended Trask under 77. My accounts didn't offer it, but I knew that's what the number was at some spots. I wasn't able to get it, but he did go under to your boys. Yes. And what a perfect situation for him to just kick back and learn from the best.
To learn from Tom Brady. Best. And there was a lot of talk. Again, I will share with the Three Dog Thursday audience, Brian, you'll be proud of me. We were on the live Buccaneers radio draft coverage for only 5 hours, literally, from 7 p.m. to midnight, waiting for the Buccaneers' first pick. And as that first round unfolded, we continued the debate, are they going to grab Kyle Trask at the end of the first round, the Florida quarterback, for the fifth-year option? Under the rules with draft picks, that guarantees that if you want to pick up the option on a quarterback, you get it for much less, and he's a free agent 1 year later than normal. So there was great debate for like the last
hour. What'd Rondé say?
So it wasn't Rondé on with me, but we had a couple of analysts and my co-host with me. We were kicking it around. Do they take Trask here at 32? And they didn't. I believe that somebody was going to grab him in the top 10 of the second round, night two. That turned out to be wrong. Nobody traded up. Nobody moved up to try to grab him, even with the teams that maybe didn't necessarily need a quarterback in the top 10. The Buccaneers, I can tell you, you can see it in their faces with Jason Light, the GM, Bruce Arians, the coach. They are elated, ear to ear. They did not have to trade up. They sat where they were, and the 64th pick at the end of the second round ends up being Trask. And it's a phenomenal situation for him. Zero pressure and expectation for this year, and you learn from Tom Brady. Just elaborate on that more. I mean, Trask could have gotten more money in another situation to go at the end of the first round, much more lucrative. But, if you're not going to play, this is a great situation for him.
No doubt. He learns from the best, and knock on wood, Brady hardly ever gets hurt. But if he does, you go in and you've got Mike Evans and Godwin and you've got Antonio Brown. And, you're working with those guys in practice anyway. You're close to Gainesville where you've been the last 5 years. Everything's comfortable. Everything is just it could not be a better situation for him.
And you know this because you're a Gator guy. As we rock on Three Dog Thursday with Brian Edwards of VegasInsider.com. This is a guy who is used to sitting and waiting. He sat behind De'Eriq King in high school. I know you know this, in Texas. De'Eriq King, who became the Houston quarterback, has now been the Miami Hurricane quarterback. He sat behind Felipe Franks at Florida for Dan Mullen and waited for his opportunity. I think that had a lot to do with the Buccaneers saying he will embrace – maybe not even playing the first couple of years while he learns. Right. This may be a 2023 thing, Brian, for Kyle Trask.
I'm sure he would scoff at the notion of I'm used to sitting on the bench because he's been playing mostly the last 2 years. But he knows how to be patient and sit back and learn and just seize his opportunity when he gets it. And he'll probably get it in year three. And by the way, did you see where Felipe Franks landed via undrafted free agent?
I did not see that because he transferred and played last year at Arkansas. Where did he end up?
Falcons.
How about you with your Falcons?
I thought me and Felipe were divorced, man.
Your ex comes back around. Yes. Felipe Franks with the big frame and the wheels, but he had injuries, obviously, as well. He played some good football at times for Arkansas.
He played really good. He played really good for Arkansas last year, and he played, he played pretty good for the Gators the last year and a half. He still make some bad decisions, but he's got an NFL arm. There's no doubt in that. Hell, I might would argue he's got the best arm of anybody in this
draft. Two or three things to think about. I mean, one of them, again, no pressure to play because for right now it's Matt Ryan's team to learn from him. Arthur Smith, a quarterback guy all the way through his coaching chain to help work with him. And Felipe Franks may end up on the practice squad, et cetera, who knows? Who knows with any of these guys when you go undrafted? Speaking of which, I thought it was very interesting, and we'll get to the NBA picks here in a few moments. Lots of boxing talk still coming on Three Dog Thursday with the Canelo Alvarez fight in the middle segment. Brian is back in the final segment to talk about it as well. Canelo defending his super middleweight titles against England's Billy Joe Saunders in Dallas Cowboy land, Jerry Jones and AT&T Stadium. 65,000 plus, Brian, expected to be in attendance. We'll see what happens with that. But back to the players, the undrafted players, et cetera. Very interesting that you had, what, five first-round picks at least. It's either five or six that didn't play the 2020 COVID-crazy season. They opted out. The Buccaneers drafted Joe Tryon, the defensive end from Washington, who didn't play. Penei Sewell, the offensive lineman from the Oregon Ducks, didn't play. I mean, there was Brusso, the pass rusher from the Miami Hurricanes, didn't play. It didn't affect some of the guys. All right, so it didn't affect some of the guys. What's your thought on that they still went in the first round without playing 2020?
Yeah, those are elite players, but guys like Jamie Newman, who had seemingly this great situation at Georgia, gotten there in January and, you know, was walking into a stacked squad, and it was a last minute. I mean, people had been opting out for like 2 months, and he just at the last second opted out. And I was puzzled. I think I tweeted that day. I was like, it's not like you're a first round pick. You know, what are you doing? And then he doesn't even get, I don't know who picked him up. Via undrafted free agent. But I would say Newman was the guy that made the biggest mistake, because he had, you know, a lot of good players around him at Georgia and could have, you know, proved it at the SEC level. And it's not like his sitting out, okay, now I'm going to get drafted high regardless of whether I fail or do well in the SEC. I mean, he blew it.
All right. And another guy that's interesting.
Yeah. He landed with the Eagles. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Good on that. And another guy, too, you talk about guys that played, and maybe Marvin Wilson, remember, was very upset as the defensive tackle at Florida State with the new coach, Mike Norvell, and the Black Lives Matter, the social injustice, and how Norvell handled that. There was talk that he wasn't going to play, that he was just going to opt out. He hung in there as a team captain. He played. He had injuries. Marvin Wilson was believed to be like a first or second round pick, certainly a night two pick, before last season played, and yet he plays and goes completely undrafted after the miserable FSU season. The Browns ended up with him, but sometimes it's a cautionary tale, because Marvin Wilson stuck it out for his teammates and as a captain, and it cost him some money, because I believe if he'd have gone the year without playing on potential, which is kind of like Joe Tryon at Washington as the defensive end or a couple of these other guys, Brian, do you agree with me? There's no way he escapes round two and round three without being taken on potential. I don't think.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I found it surprising. A couple of my Seminole buddies, we kind of have a group text. I dominate them in one-on-three fashion. And I was like, when's Big Marv going? Day three for sure, right? And they acted like, I hope he doesn't go. I didn't realize there was some pushback from some Noel fans. I don't know if it was from his poor play or what it was, but he obviously could have got drafted had he not stayed in school.
All right, so there you go on the NFL draft and the grades, and Brian again has been all over that, especially with MajorWager.com and his social media. Let's segue on Three Dog Thursday and get to some underdog talk in and around the NBA that's coming down the home stretch, and again, a lot of conversation about those play-in games that's coming. 7, 8, 9, and 10 are going to have to play each other, and then play a little brief, either one or two game after that. We'll get to that in a second. I know you want to lead off. It is fresh. There's a fresh wound out there for some gamblers that were looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers as an underdog on Tuesday night. Again, full disclosure, we're taping Wednesday evening in advance of Three Dog Thursday, so we don't know the Wednesday results, but we have the Tuesday results. And if you had the Cleveland Cavaliers against the top team in the West, the Phoenix Suns, you thought you were in great shape for underdog purposes, especially when the game went to overtime against Phoenix, but you never know, do you, Brian?
You don't. And you've probably heard me piss and moan about some overtime underdogs in college basketball. I had like four of them this year. A couple of them were like, you know, as high as like +6.5, +7.5. I don't think I've ever heard of a double digit dog not covering in overtime. I don't think. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But this one will be remembered for a long time. Phoenix covers comfortably. What did they win by, 16 or 18?
I think they won by 16 after being a 12.5 point favorite. The game goes to a 5-minute overtime for the Cavaliers, who are awful. We understand that. Phoenix is highly motivated to win a game, but they didn't just win in the overtime. They won and covered a 12.5 point line. I have not seen when the last time, if ever, that's happened in the NBA. So it's crazy, because you thought if you had a Cleveland ticket for Tuesday, I don't know how many did, I'm good. I'm golden. Right. And you're not.
And you're not. Yeah.
All right. So give me a couple of teams that you are all over right now. I know in particular the Wizards you're looking at. You've been preaching the Knicks for 3 weeks. If they've been listening on Three Dog Thursday, no matter what the Knicks line is as an underdog or a favorite, be all over it. You've been preaching the Knicks. You've been preaching the Wizards too out of the East. What else? Give me some stuff here.
Yeah, so Wizards are 14-3 against the spread going into tonight's game at Milwaukee, and they're getting a lot of respect from the odds makers. They were only a 3-point underdog early in the day. Yeah, Milwaukee, Milwaukee's playing the Wizards Wednesday night, and Milwaukee's in a letdown spot because they've beaten the Brooklyn back-to-back games. Gotcha. Two out of the last three nights. But Hachimura is not playing Wednesday night, a non-COVID illness. So the line did go up to 4.5, but I mean, after Milwaukee beats Brooklyn twice in a row, the Wizards are going there, you know, granted in a letdown and a back-to-back, but they're only 3-point underdogs. That's getting some respect from the odds makers.
Did I see they scored 80 points in a first half the other night? Was that like hockey? Were they playing 5-on-4 on the power play for the second quarter? How do you get 80 points in the first half of an NBA game?
That total was 246.5, which might have been the highest I've seen all year. And it went over with like 9.5, 10 minutes left in the game in the fourth quarter. I mean, they just obliterated one of the higher totals we've seen all year. It might have been the highest. So the Wizards are balling, 14-3 against the spread going into Wednesday. Knicks are 15-1 against the spread going into Wednesday. They're getting Nerlens Noel back, and they got Alec Burks back last game, who's a double-figure scorer for them. And Noel is one of the top shot blockers in the league. And the Knicks are getting respect at Denver tonight, only a 4-point – or Wednesday night, only a 4-point dog. And, look, my Hawks – they catch Phoenix Wednesday night in a back-to-back spot. The Hawks have won 6 in a row, both straight up and against the spread at home specifically, and are 14-2, both straight up and against the spread, their last 16 at home. And there have been a lot of big bets have been made on the Hawks out in Vegas. There was a $20,000 bet made on them to win the title, and another $20,000 bet made on them to win the East.
Win the East, maybe okay. I'm not going to go so far as the Hawks to win the title. And again, for Atlanta – they're not playing on the weekend. If you're hearing us on Three Dog Thursday, they don't play again till Monday. So keep an eye on the Hawks on that. You were mentioning the Wizards after Wednesday night, which again, we don't know the result of that Milwaukee game while we're taping, Brian and I. They play the Pacers Saturday night. Keep an eye on, did the Wizards cover on Wednesday, which again would make them what, 16-3, you said? They're 15-3.
They're 14-3 going tonight. That'd make them 15-3 against the spread.
Keep an eye on that. And then I'm looking again for the Knicks. And the next time they're playing, I'll search for that. They are playing the Suns, interestingly, out west on Friday night. Keep an eye on that for Three Dogs Thursday. You would think the Knicks are going to get like 6 or 7 points at least, even with the way they've been playing, because they're at Phoenix probably on Friday.
Yeah, I would think that. And I'll be interested in the Knicks as long as they're getting, I would say, as long as they're getting 6, I would be interested in them, assuming no fresh injuries.
Very interesting that the Lakers and the Clippers, and the Lakers are now perilously close, I'll use that phrase, to the 7-8 situation. They're only a game in front of Portland. Again, Portland playing Wednesday night. We don't know the result. Lakers playing the Clippers on Thursday night, a game in front of Portland for the 7 spot. The Lakers currently 6 to stay out of the play-in game. The significance, again, if you're 6 or higher, you're guaranteed a first-round series that's going at least 5 games. You're in the play-in game, you're in trouble. there in a one-loss setting, you could be in big trouble, two losses and out. So the Lakers want to stay out of that. They play the Clippers, and then who do they play? They play the Portland Trail Blazers on Friday. LeBron has been bothered by the injured ankle. That game coming on a Friday night, and I'm verifying this to make sure that they are playing in Portland, yes, on Friday night in a back-to-back. So Lakers, Clippers on Three Dog Thursday, Thursday night, and then ESPN will have the Lakers-Blazers game, which could, in theory, if the Lakers lose Thursday night, could be for the Blazers to jump them for the sixth spot in the West down the stretch. Brian, quick thought.
Yeah, and Portland's healthy now. They've got everybody back except for Zach Collins. My Hawks are healthy. They've got everybody back except for Hunter and Reddish, whereas we've been missing like four or five, sometimes six players. Portland at home with no LeBron, I like Portland in that game. Lakers are in trouble in terms of I'm not looking at their whole schedule the rest of the way, but I mean, they're definitely perilously close to being in the play-in tournament, and LeBron knows that, and that's why he was cussing about it the other night.
He was bellyaching, and can I just tell you, forget about the social justice stuff, but stop bellyaching about things like, the play-in. A year ago, he was advocating for the play-in, by the way. You flash back to last April and May when they were trying to figure out when they resume. He was saying that the 7, 8, 9, and 10 teams didn't deserve the same standing after they had to wait for 2 or 3 months to come back and play. So you didn't have a problem with those teams having to play extra games in a play-in game last year when it suited you as one of the top seeds. So it's total BS. If it's good for last year, it's good for this year. The NBA apparently is going to keep this in play for the short term here in future seasons, where they want the excitement of the end of the year of stay out of the 8-hole, stay out of the 7-hole, and you don't have to worry about a play-in. And if the Lakers lose their way, because, Brian, I think I saw they were 4 games 2 weeks ago. They were 4 games in front of the 7th spot, whoever had it. They're now right there where they could be in it with just a few games left, and that's their own fault with injuries and losses.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis, carry your team, man. Carry your team, Anthony Davis. LeBron's out. You need to step up. And, look, I hate the Lakers. Have them my whole life, so I love it.
They won the pandemic resumption of the season in the bubble in Orlando to win the championship. So they got house money in that regard. But the Lakers could take it on the chin, including this weekend. We will see for that.
And, hey, if they end up faring well in the play-in, but they're the 7th seed, they can lose to Utah or Phoenix. There's no doubt that they can lose. I would think they would probably be a slight favorite series price-wise. But – they could lose that series and, never know what's going to happen in the play-in. I mean, if they have to play Golden State, Steph can throw 50 on you anytime and it'll be,
scenario. And so we need to explain this one more time before we get out of here in this segment with Brian Edwards, MajorWager.com, Vegas Insider. He's hanging with me on Three Dog Thursday. YouTube roundtable coming up to talk more about Canelo Alvarez and the fight. Brian will be back more after that. Again, to explain it, the 7 will play the 8 in a one-game situation where the winner gets to host the next game. The winner becomes the 7 seed and gets to host the next game. And then in that case, the 7 seed would only have to win once. The 8 seed would have to win twice. The same thing will happen with the 9th or the 10th seed. And in the West, the Lakers are not going to likely end up as the 9th or the 10th seed. So that's not important. But the same thing will happen where the 9 will host a play-in game. The winner becomes the 9 seed and only has to win once. The 10 seed has to win twice. And to your point, if the Lakers are playing the Warriors in the 7 and 8 and lose to them, they're now playing at Golden State, where Golden State only has to win one time to eliminate them. The Lakers have to win twice, and your reward is that you immediately have to go play the Phoenix Suns, hypothetically, in that next round. So that's why you don't want to be in that play-in situation while the top two teams are getting rewarded and resting for a week. You got to fight for your life, or at least for 3 or 4 days. You got to fight for your life to stay alive in the play-ins in the East and the West.
If the Lakers end up repeating, they're going to have to clear some major hurdles, and they will have earned it big time. I don't like their chances right now.
Well, they're wobbling down the stretch and injured, so we'll see on that one. Brian, stand by again. More with him in the final segment. We've got our YouTube roundtable talking a lot of Canelo Alvarez as well. We're well-versed in all of it as we roll along here on Three Dog Thursday.
But first, we're brought to you by our friends at WynnBET, bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, sports, and games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today. You'll receive a special offer for up to $500 risk-free on a sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. And download the app today. Again, that's WynnBET.com. And we're also brought to you in part by Roman. Look, nobody's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So you feel like you've come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are also options. You can go to GetRoman.com/SGP and find out more about ED. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional works with you, finds out the best treatment. If medication is appropriate, it'll ship out to you for free with two-day shipping. You get started by simply going to GetRoman.com/SGP and get an online visit set up. Again, go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. Get $15 off your first month. There's no straightforward way to take care of ED, but if you go to GetRoman.com/SGP, you can get started now and save $15 off your first month of treatment with Roman. We're also brought to you in part by BetterThan.Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what DGens only care about, and that is sports betting. We're giving away free daily video picks on our Better Than Vegas profile page, and BetterThan.Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They've got a bunch of free picks and handicappers to check out. Make sure you subscribe to our profile and don't miss a pick at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And we're brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check out their fantasy best ball tournaments, which are some of the best around, including Best Ball Mania 2, that tournament going on right now with your shot at $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlayed player props for MLB, the NBA, and more. And they have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament coming up as well. Just go to underdogfantasy.com, use our promo code SGPN, and don't forget to enter the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament right now for your chance at $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
The dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
Indeed, it is another edition of the Three Dog Thursday YouTube Roundtable. Hello there. Great to be with you. If you're only hearing us, as I like to say, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, come find the moving pictures on the YouTube Roundtable. Search for YouTube. Search Three Dog Thursday. Come find us via a social media link at Three Dog Thursday, etc. for the YouTube Roundtable. I am merely the somewhat capable host. By the way, this is a joint interview. So if you're going, wait a minute, this is also on the Powers on Sports podcast. That's because my man Jason Powers from right here in the Tampa Bay area is also aboard. And so this is a joint interview on both of our shows, a little cross promotion, a little cross pollination. We love that. Let's welcome in Jason Powers right now here on Three Dog Thursday and on his own podcast, the Jason Powers on Sports podcast. How are you, my friend?
How are you, sir? Appreciate it. We're doing a little innovative work in the podcasting world, a little simulcast along many platforms.
I love the fact that we're sharing, and we're sharing with Marquise John, senior writer, BigFightWeekend.com. He and I are part of the BigFightWeekend.com website and the Big Fight Weekend podcast. So why don't we make it a table for three here on the YouTube roundtable, because we've got some boxing and some Canelo Alvarez to talk about. Marquise Johns, Weak Sauce Radio. How do you feel here on the YouTube Roundtable Three Dog Thursday? And also, we're doubling your paycheck on the Powers on Sports podcast as well at the same time. Marquise, how you feeling?
Pretty good, TJ. Chicks in the post, apparently. I love this. This integration sensation of these collaborations going on here. I love this.
You're like Don King with all of the words. Only in America.
Only in America. Would
love you to know that he's still been in communication with Don King Promotions. They're still trying to promote fights. And Don King is literally 80, what, Marquise?
Nine.
89 years old, still promoting fights, Jason Powers. It's crazy that Only in America is still around. And Bob Arum is still around promoting, and he's, what, 88, 89?
I think he turns 90 this year, actually. He's
90,
up there, too.
It is crazy about all this. All right, so plenty of boxing coming up. Let's begin, though, on Three Dog Thursday with what we left off on this podcast, and Jason has already been talking about it on Powers on Sports a little bit, and that's the NFL draft. So I am going to right away here share the screen as the NFL draft took place, and Trevor Lawrence ends up going as the number one overall pick. Here he is, Trevor Lawrence with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was not a big surprise. Lawrence to the Jaguars, who are going to be bad. Zach Wilson to the New York Jets is the second pick and the second quarterback. Not a huge surprise, but let's jump right in. Jason Powers, as we take a look here, the San Francisco 49ers go with Trey Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback, instead of Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, instead of Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback. I just asked Brian Edwards, our handicapper, his opinion in the previous segment. Jason, your opinion about that move?
I don't have a big problem with it. I mean, the consensus was this draft was going to start at number three with the Niners. What were they going to do? Were they going to go with the more ready-made guy, Mac Jones, who they thought might be ready to go week one? Or are they more looking down the road? Trey Lance might need a half a year to get ready. You still got Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Obviously, the question was going to be, are you going to keep Garoppolo? If you draft Mac Jones, they're probably going to trade Garoppolo. With them keeping Trey Lance, you're going to keep Garoppolo. To me, I think it's probably the right thing to do is if you think Lance is going to be better 3 years down the road, then keep Garoppolo for another year. So I don't have a big problem with what they do. And Garoppolo's been a winning quarterback for the Niners when he's been healthy.
All right, fair enough on that. Jason and I will kind of go back and forth on the draft. Marquise is here for the boxing and much more. Although Marquise is a Detroit Lions long-suffering fan from the state of Michigan and from the Motor City. Do you have any remarks, any cheap shots that you want to take at your Lions right now off of this draft? Or are you somewhat optimistic right now? They went offensive line, Penei Sewell, right? The big offensive lineman from Oregon to help protect Jared Goff, Marquise.
Yeah, TJ, we went offensive lineman again because the offense was offensive last year. And the problem with this Lions team is that they have so many missing pieces and they need so many of them back. The one thing they at least got with an offensive lineman, at least, you would think they have at least one guy that could run the football behind, which is what they didn't have at all for about half the season last year, Bucks game included. So we'll see how that all plays out. But to piggyback off your point with Trey Lance going to the Niners, guys, I really think they messed this up. They needed a guy that's already ready to go. They can't if they're playing with Garoppolo for half a year, then they're going to slide this guy in there. These guys will be fired the next season. They won't be able to find out how this guy's really going to play out. But the only caveat I will get mentioned with Trey Lance is North Dakota State. Let's be honest, guys, that's a feeder system in a JUCO program. So it's about as much of a pro offense as you can get. So we'll see how it turns out.
All right. And we should make mention here again with San Francisco. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but to Marquise's point, a bad year last year. Yeah. Lance, a bit of a risk, Jason Powers, with only 17 games played and at the lower division, the FCS level, not the powerful FBS with all of the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10. This is a bit of a reach. It's a bit of a risk. And if it doesn't work in the short term, Kyle Shanahan, the coach, may be in trouble. I don't think John Lynch, the GM, is in trouble, as I've discussed on some other interviews, some other places, but Kyle Shanahan, the coach, might be in trouble. What do you think, Jason?
You're right. This is a defining pick for Shanahan. I mean, he had the blunders with the Falcons in the Super Bowl, the other issues. I mean, this is a big move, and I think Lance won them over more on the mental side of the game, and everybody said he's incredibly smart. He's incredibly a teammate, a great teammate, all that kind of good stuff. I think, and you're right, it is a risk. There's no doubt he's had the least number of pass attempts as any kid who's ever been drafted that high. All right. Again, you're listening to the Simulcast podcast, Three Dog Thursday podcast, Powers on Sports podcast, TJ Marquise Johns. Let's get to TJ, your wheelhouse, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Your thoughts? He's wearing old school Bucko Bruce orange shirt.
Again, we should say, if you're only hearing us on Three Dog Thursday, if you're only hearing us on the Powers on Sports podcast, come find the YouTube channel because the boys can testify. Yes. I am rocking old school Bucko Bruce tonight on the interview at the time that we're taping this on the YouTube roundtable. Come see it just for Bucko Bruce. But go ahead. Question,
absolutely,
please.
Yeah, definitely find us on YouTube. We'll have this whole roundtable segment. Let's talk about the Buccaneers. First round, people were wondering, are the Bucs maybe trade up, trade out of the first round? They stay where they're at 32. Joe Tryon from Washington falls in their lap. Tell us a little bit about Joe Tryon.
Well, the interesting thing is I don't get them all right. And Marquise is the first one to tell you that I sometimes don't even get half of them right when we start talking boxing. This is why I defer to him on Big Fight Weekend. But in three different mock drafts, which, again, it's a whole lot easier to do the mock draft when you're in the top 10. That's like shooting layups in basketball. Hey, I made 9 out of 10 layups. I made 10 out of 10 layups. Almost everybody can make layups. Step back to the free throw line and give me 9 out of 10, picking a mock draft pick at 20. Guys, picking a mock draft pick at 32 is like making a 40-foot Steph Curry shot, if we're talking about this. It's like getting in the ring with Canelo Alvarez. In three different mock drafts, I picked the Washington defensive end, Joe Tryon, on a hunch two ways. I didn't have any inside intel, Jason Powers, Marquise Johns. But I believe two things. You cannot have enough good pass rushers. I believe that guy was still going to be there. And the connection to Vita Vea, the Buccaneers' former number one pick defensive tackle from the University of Washington, where Joe Tryon is from, they were teammates for one season together back 3 years ago. Something just said to me that was going to be the pick. And sure enough, it was. The guy didn't play college football, Jason Powers, last year, as you know. He opted out for the COVID-19 shortened season, decided not to play, still ends up being a first-round pick. And look, he's got a great chance on a defense that's loaded to kind of work his way in and be a pass rusher. I love it here for Joe Tryon, Jason Powers, as the first pick of the Buccaneers without a lot of eyes and scrutiny probably on him for the first season.
And Marquise, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. Let's go to the second round. Everybody thought the Buccaneers had a guy, a quarterback targeted potentially. A lot of people thought that they might go quarterback at the end of the first round. The Bucs, again, sit where they're at 64. Kyle Trask, the quarterback from Florida, falls to him at 64. To me, a perfect pick. And a comparison I came up with even before I heard Bruce Arians say, he reminded me a lot of Brad Johnson, which was the comparison by Jason Light and Bruce Arians. Big husky guy, was a backup, took advantage of his opportunity to play. 6'5", not the strongest arm. I think Kyle Trask could be a perfect fit in this Buccaneer offense 2-3 years down the road.
Well, let's just say this. This is like being in Marquise Johns' world here. We're all just visiting. Same thing for Kyle Trask with sitting behind, oh, by the way, Tom Brady. Right. Just sit back and learn. And this may not even be a guy, Jason and Marquise, and for the audiences hearing us on Three Dog Thursday and the Powers on Sports podcast, he may not play at all in 2021, and he may not be called upon in 2022. They may have Tom Brady the next 2 years with Kyle Trask sitting behind him. And who knows what happens? Brady could, the elbow could give out, the shoulder could give out. We don't know. But he is, Trask, in a perfect situation to sit back and learn from arguably the greatest of all time. So if you're not going to get picked in the first round and you're not going to like Cincinnati, a perennially horrible team, Cleveland, pick one that's usually awful. This is the next best thing if you're not going to get to go and play, is sit back behind Tom Brady. Marquise, I don't know what your thought is here, but the Gator fans I know, and we're around a bunch of them, all three of us guys, they're all elated with this pick for the Buccaneers. What about
Marquise? They are, TJ, and it's a fun pick because you know there's going to be a quarterback. It was just a matter of if and when. They didn't pick one in the first round because they're all gone. So they picked Kyle Trask, one you'll still there in the second round. I'm intrigued, TJ, to see if he's actually going to be around once all this goes around. Pretty much we're at the mercy of Tom Brady whenever he wants to retire or not. And obviously that's not this season or the season after that, it looks like, personally. intrigued about that. But if the comparisons, guys, is he's the next Brad Johnson, do you think they probably was going to draft someone a little more mobile, or were they just set on Trask's arm maybe?
I think they're happy. Jason, what's your thought? I think they're happy to have him learn to be the same kind of pocket passer that Tom Brady is. What do you think, Jason Powell?
I agree. Yeah. I think Bruce Arians is the Byron Leftwich. Bruce Arians' mindset is pocket passer. They're not as much into the running quarterback, mobile quarterbacks as other organizations are. They believe in the downfield throws. And I think Kyle Trask showed he's got enough pocket awareness. That's the beauty. You have to have the pocket mobility. It's not the guy that can run around. It's the guy that can move around in the pocket. And Brady's always shown he can do that. Kyle Trask has shown he can do that at Florida. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's very cerebral and very accurate. That was the difference between him and a Davis Mills and Kellen Mond, those kind of guys. His accuracy is tremendous.
And we should say, again, he broke records at Florida, including the touchdown record in the SEC. So there's a lot of pedigree. And as you mentioned, he was a backup at Florida behind Felipe Franks. We were talking about that in the first segment of the Three Dog Thursday podcast. Yep. Again, we're simulcasting here, joint interview. It's also on the Powers on Sports podcast, Jason's podcast. So again, find both podcasts. But on Three Dog Thursday, we were talking about Trask sitting behind Felipe Franks and waiting for his chance. He even sat behind De'Eriq King, the Miami Hurricane and Houston Cougar quarterback in high school. He is used to sitting back and waiting for a chance, and he's going to have to sit back with Tom Brady. Jason, go ahead.
Marquise, back to your Lions. It's a funny thing. Your GM, Brad Holmes, is a Tampa guy. Went to Chamberlain High School here in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
What are your thoughts of Dan Campbell and that mentality of building a rugged kind of team, a running team first? They brought in Anthony Lynn to be the coordinator. You draft Sewell. They like big bodies. What is your thought of the whole Dan Campbell regime coming in with a kind of a mindset of being a hard-nosed team?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he's able to do in this modern NFL, guys. He's talking about, you know, bringing back the old-fashioned, you know, double tight end, you know, I formation, big jumbo package, run football game. You know, that's cool. But it's 2021, guys. That 1987 stuff may or may not work in present day. But we'll see how that works out. The one thing that they did do, which I think was smart on their end, when they traded Stafford for Goff, at least Goff has the ability to at least move around somewhere a little bit, because Stafford at one point became immobile. And at this point, he's been running around for a decade, guys. He's tired. So I get it. And now hopefully we'll see what Holmes and Campbell do with this. I'm actually optimistic, Jason. At this point, I have nothing else but hope, because it's been about 50 years in the running.
They hired Chris Spielman in that front office. And you know this, Marquise, a hard-nosed 1980s, 90s linebacker mentality. Campbell's out of that same mold. They are not going to get beat because of toughness or conditioning. They may get beat on lack of talent. They may get beat on Dan Campbell not knowing what he's doing as a coach. But Marquise, at least you're going to have a tough play hard. I mean, that's what those guys are. Spielman in the front office and Campbell, the new coach, they know nothing else than to be bloody nose, dirty, whatever to go fight you.
Yeah. And that was the one thing that was missing. Actually, honestly, guys, they haven't had a hard nosed quote unquote kind of guy probably since Buddy Ross, if we're being realistic here, guys. That's a long time ago. And that hard nosed got
Bobby Ross.
Bobby Ross. Yeah. Buddy was the Arizona guy. That was his dad. But no, Bobby was in town, and that chased Barry out. And it's been like this ever since. Hopefully the era with Campbell can just hopefully wipe away these last few years of Patricia, because Patricia was in over his head, guys. And it was just not good this last season whatsoever.
Well, and they had Jim Caldwell and they made the playoffs. They had Rod Marinelli, who I love, and they had an 0-16 season. I got a stat. You want a stat? As this, as we sit here on these two podcasts on Three Dog Thursday and on the Powers on Sports podcast, no Detroit Lions fired coach, no one that they fired, has ever been an NFL head coach again after they fired him. Not one. If that tells you, if you need any bigger neon billboard, Marquise knows this and Jason knows this, that if you're fired by the Lions, you're fired for the NFL. That is incredible.
That is a great stat.
I mean, you can go all the way back for the last 40 years, including Wayne Fonts. And I don't even know. Marquise knows the names. I mean, go all the way back to like Daryl Rogers and whoever.
Moose Rogers.
Coach the Lions, whatever it was. None of them have ever gotten another NFL head coaching job after being ousted by the Detroit Lions. That's incredible, Jason.
That's incredible. All right. As we wrap up the NFL, I'm gonna go to each of you guys. Give me a kind of surprise out of left field pick that you noticed in the first round. A lot of people were questioning the Raiders picking Alex Leatherwood as high as they did. Mayock and Gruden have seemed to have some issues in the first round the last couple of years. You know, you had the Mac Jones falling to New England at 15. Give me a pick that you liked, you really liked, or you said, what are they doing? TJ.
I'll give you real quick. Here that I loved the Philadelphia Eagles getting Devontae Smith. I've said on this podcast, I said, I think Jason is a guest with you. I think I said it to my 13-year-old twins. Anybody else that would listen, I was walking around the neighborhood with a dog, saying it to the postman and whoever. Devontae Smith is the best receiver in this draft. So I love the Eagles pairing him with Jalen Hurts. Cincinnati is just Cincinnati. What are they doing? I know they want to put Ja'Marr Chase, the receiver from the LSU Tigers, with Joe Burrow, the former LSU quarterback, but I did not understand passing on Devontae Smith, who I think is the better receiver. So there's a couple from me. Marquise, did you have any more surprises, or are you still just licking your wounds as a Lions fan that you're trying not to go 0-16? What's the deal?
Well, I'm still licking my wounds, TJ, but the one pick that made me excited actually was the fact that the Chicago Bears guys gave up their entire future for Justin Fields. And if that pick fails, guys, we won't be in last place in Detroit anymore, guys. That's just plain and simple.
I like
well,
that.
Well, the thing is, That picks, you know, Nagy and Ryan Pace's jobs are on the line. They had to make that move. As soon as Fields got past Denver at number 9, when they didn't take a quarterback, I think it's a great move. Who knows if he can play or not, but it shows the fan base, hey, we're going for it. We're willing to risk another, 2 years worth of number ones, which is okay. That's what you have to pay these days. If you're going to make a big move like that in the draft, you have to give up that second number one pick. And it's being shown that number one picks aren't nearly as valuable as we thought they used to be 10, 15 years ago. With the salary cap situation, you can reset after a year or two if a pick doesn't work out.
But how many more times do you get to screw it up if you're Ryan Pace, the GM, Matt Nagy as the coach? Because ultimately, they traded for Mitch Trubisky and traded up a number one pick to move up one spot to take him, and didn't take Deshaun Watson or, oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes when they traded up to take Mitch Trubisky. So who knows? All right, we'll turn this now to boxing real quick on both the Three Dog Thursday on the YouTube simulcast and also to the Powers on Sports podcast. No matter when or where that you're hearing us, come find the YouTube roundtable on this. We are looking on the YouTube roundtable. This is right in Marquise and Mai's wheelhouse. Canelo Alvarez in action Saturday night. The unified super middleweight 168-pound championships are on the line. Alvarez, multi-division world champ, arguably the biggest non-heavyweight name in the sport that's currently active. So Marquise, we come to you first here. We're going to talk a lot on Big Fight Weekend's podcast on bigfightweekend.com, building towards the weekend. But since we're here on Three Dog Thursday, we're here on Powers on Sports. Tell the audiences, plural, about Canelo and England's Billy Joe Saunders coming up quickly.
Absolutely, TJ. For those who have been under a rock, it's Canelo Fight Week, and he is in action in Dallas at Jerry World in front of 65,000 fans or so, taking on the undefeated Billy Joe Saunders as a unification bout for his version of it's pretty much the belt on the line, guys, for at the 168 pounds is the WBO that Billy Joe Saunders has, the WBA and the WBC, which Canelo has. So they're going to try to merge all these pies together here this weekend, making it one step closer for unification at 168 that Caleb Plant has. And it's going to be a fun one, TJ. I'm looking forward to it, actually, mainly for the simple reason that the biggest guy in the sport, Canelo, is fighting again. This will be his second time this year already, TJ. We know guys who haven't fought since the pandemic took place. So
three fights in 5 months for Alvarez, December, February, and May. So he's been very active. And again, incentives financially for him to do that. Jason, we're also sharing the screen and showing the audience on the Three Dog Thursday YouTube roundtable and also the audio podcast for Powers on Sports. We're showing them AT&T Stadium, where they will have Jason, Marquise, and the audience, as we also see the inside of the stadium, some 60,000 plus, probably closer to 65,000 or more, somewhat socially distanced, but most of it is huge crowd on the football field of the stadium and in the four levels of the stadium. They will have this fight, and it will be the largest crowd of anything post-COVID-19 pandemic to this point, including the NFL, including the Kentucky Derby, which last weekend had 50,000 people spread out at Churchill Downs for the horse race. This will have some 60, 65,000 Jason Powers. So it's kind of transcending boxing as we look on the screen here.
You guys are the boxing experts. Tell me about this Billy Joe Saunders. Is this guy a tomato can, or is he a legitimate threat to at least give Alvarez a test?
Marquise?
Well, if you're going to play a drinking game, guys, Saturday night watching this fight, you're going to hear the words Billy Joe Saunders and Slick Southpaw to the point where you will be passed out drunk from that. So he has a couple of immovabilities, guys. He's just not the – Canelo's just on a different level than these guys at 168. This is the way it is. And, of course, the guy who is the greatest in the sport is going to be heavily favored like Canelo is at this point, and that's where Billy Joe Saunders is. The one thing with Billy Joe Saunders, Jason, and why this fight is taking so long, this fight was supposed to happen during around COVID time. I want to say May of last year. COVID right. wiped all of that out, and then they tried to reschedule it. Billy Joe Saunders needed more time and all of her boxing shenanigans. But nonetheless, they're here. They're in town to set for Saturday in Dallas. And it's one of those fights where Billy Joe Saunders is going to have to pretty much have the fight of his life to beat Canelo.
And for the audience on Powers on Sports and for Three Dog Thursday, Saunders is not a big puncher. He is a slick boxer, a southpaw. Canelo is obviously one of the greats. He's got a big punch. He's going to stalk him. And the real question is, can Saunders do enough with hand speed and movement to frustrate him and make this a fight and make this a contest? We'll see. Hey, Marquise, real quick, Saunders, because it's Three Dog Thursday, is a 5.5-1 doggy here, a +525. Canelo is 7.5-1 favorite. I know we're going to talk more about the odds and specifically on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. Another plug there when we talk gambling. Do we even tempt it with Billy Joe Saunders as the underdog here, or do you give him virtually no shot against Canelo Saturday night?
At this point, TJ, I'm not saying he doesn't have a shot, but I'm keeping my money in my pocket on this one.
Half jokingly saying is if somebody hides Canelo's boots or if he gets hurt, then it could happen. But other than that, I don't think there's much drama. Jason, we've only got a few minutes left. Go ahead. You got anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you guys both one question. Obviously, we're on the simulcast, Three Dog Thursday, BigFightWeekend.com podcast, and the Powers on Sports podcast. Give the audience a little summary of what's going down in Puerto Rico. You guys have been all over this story the last several days. Felix Verdejo has been arrested and charged with murder of his pregnant girlfriend. Give the audience a little background of how all that story has come together and just the parameters behind the story a little bit.
Okay, we've been all over this, and kudos to my man Marquise Johns because he had one of the first English-speaking articles up on this when it was all going on Friday in Puerto Rico. They frantically searched for this woman for 2 days, found her horrifically floating dead in a lagoon Saturday near Carolina, Puerto Rico, which is just outside of San Juan. Horrible. And Verdejo is the prime suspect. He's been charged with her kidnapping, her murder. This is a 27-year-old, lightweight, 135-pound contender. Marquise, pick it up here. Horrible, horrific story where we have been writing about real-life horrible murder news on the website, and we'll obviously be talking more about this on our podcast, but this is awful stuff. Verdejo has ruined, it would appear, not only his boxing career, but his life, and has murdered his girlfriend, if all of this is to be believed. Marquise, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, TJ, this is absolutely horrific, guys. Pretty much that episode of Law & Order Criminal Intent where the guy kills his wife and gets away with it for about 45 minutes until they catch him. Yeah, that's what happened here. And it's not good at all. He pretty much killed his mistress, essentially, who was pregnant because she came by. And he already has a prior relationship or is in one currently. So someone had to go, and he made the reckless and irresponsible decision of killing this woman for some reason or another, allegedly. And we'll see what happens from there. But long story short, guys, we'll never see this guy again.
I mean, he's an immensely popular fighter in Puerto Rico, up and coming star. He got beat in his last fight in December in an upset loss.
Yes.
That kind of derailed him a little bit. And now this, I mean, this is just, it has been nonstop in Puerto Rico, the number one story for the last 5 days. So again, thank you for indulging us as the boxing guys, but it has transcended the rest of sports, Jason. And we only got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Anything else, Jason?
Kudos to you guys. You guys have been all over it, done great reporting on it on all the various platforms. So very much. One more question about this weekend.
Yeah,
this has been a traditional Mexican fighters weekend with Cinco de Mayo weekend all over for many, many years. How do you think why not Las Vegas as opposed to Jerry World? More because of the attendance, the ability to do it in the stadium? Is that why they
Marquise, go ahead.
Yeah, Jason, pretty much what it is in Vegas, because they are having shows back in Vegas at the end of this month, but it's because of the attendance caps on it. Pretty much Texas, as we all know, guys, it's an open range. Vegas is only having at most half capacity, or in case for these top ranked shows, about 45-40%. So you got to follow the money on some of this stuff, and that money is clearly in Dallas.
Well, and they've not been able to use outdoor venues in Vegas or the new Allegiant
Raider
Stadium.
Yeah.
The Raider Stadium. So their indoor capacity is like 4,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Yeah.
They're trying to have fights there, which they will do later this month, Jason, in the month of May. That ain't 60,000. That ain't 65,000 or greater, which is what we're looking for this Canelo fight to be Saturday night. And that's why it's in Texas. They say everything's bigger in Texas, and now we're going to find out for Canelo.
Last quick thought. Give me the what's the word on Floyd Mayweather? Is he coming back to fight? What's he doing?
Marquise?
He's coming back, but it's definitely not a fight, Jason. It is an exhibition against Logan Paul. It is the usual shenanigans from Floyd Mayweather again. Pretty much what's happening, guys, and it just made word that Triller's pushing back their Teofimo Lopez George Gamboa's fight that was happening that Saturday. So what's happening is that Floyd's back to take over his pay-per-view king status, and that fight on Sunday, June 6th, is pushing everything in itself out of the picture for it to happen on Showtime.
Interesting. And so again, is Floyd fighting an exhibition, as far as we know, against
yes.
a YouTuber failed actor Logan Paul?
Yes.
This is what we've come to. This is mm-hmm. not the boxing we know, but that's bringing in a different audience. So
crazy.
That's what's coming up. Hey, Jason Powers, thank you. Great job.
Thank
Powers
you.
On Sports Podcast for Jason. Again, if you're hearing us on the Three Dog Thursday podcast, if you're seeing us on the YouTube roundtable, again, we're on Jason's podcast as kind of a joint interview, a simulcast on Powers on Sports. Marquise John, senior writer, BigFightWeekend.com. Thank you as well. I'll promote for my guys one more time here that are seeing us on the YouTube roundtable that you can follow Marquise John's at Weak Sauce Radio. There he is, and he's mugging for the Detroit Pistons as well.
Oh, man.
Weak Sauce Radio on the Twitter handle. Love that. Jason Powers is JPO Sports on Twitter if you're only hearing us, or you see him right there on social media. Follow him at JPO Sports on the Powers on Sports podcast. Guys, we got to get out of here. Great job on Three Dog Thursday. Jason, keep knocking them dead. We're on your podcast, Powers on Sports Podcast. Marquise, we've done this once. We'll do it again on the Big Fight Weekend podcast to preview more of Canelo and Billy Joe Saunders. Thank you, guys. Great stuff here on Three Dog Thursday.
Great job. Thanks, TJ. Thanks
Marquise. Thanks a lot, guys.
Indeed, we are back in one more time. Senior handicapper, Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com. Brian Edwards back with us. We talked a lot of NBA with you back in the first segment of the show. We need to make mention, you've been rolling. You've been talking about this with your different NBA plays, documented on Vegas Insider. They need to look into that and see the streak that you've been on. You've been what, in the top five in recent weeks, if not number three, you were a couple of weeks ago with the NBA picks. So this is no joke, not just underdogs, but also under overtoes. What you were tweeting earlier in the week, the Miami Heat have gone over, what, like seven straight games or something like that headed into the midweek. You're playing the over totals. The under, the over, the spread, they need to lock in on Vegas Insider, right?
Yeah, so last night I had the over on in Miami, and that game flew over against Dallas. And so it's now seven overs in a row for the Heat. Another team that's hot that we didn't mention earlier is the T-Wolves. They are 6-0-1 against the spread with five outright wins, including two wins over Utah in their last seven, and they're short home underdogs to Memphis on Wednesday night. My record, it's 110-83-2, 57% plus 18.94 units. I was on a 5-0 run until I split last night. The guy from Sacramento, he made only one of two free throws. The second one would have got me a push.
That was the way it always is.
Yeah. So I missed that one. Tonight I'm on the Hawks, or Wednesday night, I'm on the Hawks plus one to Phoenix at home, and over 227.5.
Playing those. And we should make mention while you said it, the T-Wolves and the Heat play each other Friday night in Miami. Keep an eye on that game. What did you say? The T-Wolves have won how many straight and covered?
6-0-1 against the spread with five outright wins in their last seven.
All right, keep an eye on that for the Friday night game. If you're interested in wagering on that, see Brian Moore on his social media and on VegasInsider.com. All right, before we get out of here on Three Dog Thursday, Canelo Alvarez, Saul Canelo Alvarez, arguably one of the biggest names in boxing currently, certainly one of the biggest names in the last decade, four-division, multi-time world champion. He's fighting at 168 pounds against an Englishman, Billy Joe Saunders, who's little known. He's only fought one time in the United States, only one time outside the UK. More of a boxer, not a big puncher. And I know you and I were joking before I hit the record button that there's a lot of conversation about how big is the ring, right, at AT&T Stadium Saturday night for Canelo, right? I mean, we got to have some controversy in boxing. I jokingly have put out there on social media they could hold it in the end zone because the Cowboys didn't use it enough last year at AT&T Stadium. Let Billy Joe be in the end zone of Cowboys Stadium and try to run from Canelo. But you can run, but you can't hide, my friend, for this fight on Saturday night.
No relation to Billy Joe, the Falcons against the 49ers many decades ago.
Yeah, no Billy Joe Hulbert. No, not any of that. But Billy Joe Saunders, he comes in as a hefty
underdog.
Is
he undefeated?
He is undefeated. He's 30-0. He's had his version of the super middleweight title for about four or five fights, but he comes in as a plus 525 underdog. Canelo is 7.5-1 to win. And Alvarez is fighting for the third time in 5 months. His activity has to do with the fact that it was an easy fight the last time out. It was expected to be in February, and he's getting paid more by the DAZN streaming service on new subscribers. So this is a new month for the month of May. If they crank several hundred thousand new subscribers, he's getting a percentage of that for May. So he's back in the ring. Cinco de Mayo earlier in the week, big Mexican-American tie in Texas, easier for the Mexican fight fans to get to Texas. They're going to have 65,000 or more there. It is going to be some atmosphere when he comes to the ring, et cetera. This is the biggest crowd, NFL included, Kentucky Derby last weekend, that we've had since the COVID-19 pandemic. It's expected to be some scene coming up Saturday night.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. That activity is for a guy of his stature, three fights in 5 months. That's unheard of in boxing, isn't it?
We got to get paid is what he's looking at.
Well, it's great, though. I mean, that's great. Yes. You're having your – I mean, he's the most popular – I mean, with Mayweather doing just little Sideshow Bob events, I mean – yes. Canelo is the most popular guy in the world boxing-wise these days, right?
Non-heavyweight especially, yes. Non-heavyweight at this point. Yeah. And I hearken back, you're old school like me. People don't realize and understand that when Mike Tyson won the heavyweight championship in November of 86, and he did so as the youngest heavyweight champion just over 20 years old, he fought seven more times in the next 14 months after that title. Wow. He was repeatedly fighting and defending the title because that's how you got paid. There weren't mega deals. There weren't mega pay-per-views back in the 80s. And what Alvarez understands right now is, again, in this subscription-based incentive situation, if I fought in February and we got new subscribers for that month, I got that money. Now, if I come back in May and I fight again at the beginning of the month and there's new subscribers, I got that money. And he will probably fight again, especially if it goes well and he's not marked up, not hurt, whatever. He'll probably fight again in September. In the fall, he's getting paid again on the new subscribers. I like the frequency of this with Alvarez, who's excited.
Is Lampley calling the fight?
This will not be Jim Lampley. These will be our DAZN guys. And here's a plug for the Big Fight Weekend podcast. We love the DAZN call of Todd Grisham, who used to be on the WWE coverage. Does a great job with the
UFC.
Boxing.
UFC
as well.
Grisham was on Grisham, UFC
and Grisham, a big Atlanta Falcons fan, by the way, too, Brian Edwards.
Isn't he so from Grisham, Mississippi?
Yes, Grisham on the call. Yes, Grisham on the call. Sergio Mora, the Latin Snake, the contender winner from the first reality show. He's always on the call as well on his own. They'll call it. Sergio, Mexican-American from California. He's ready for the brotherhood there for Canelo Saturday night. They'll be on the call. And again, there will be millions that will watch this on DAZN in North America and in Mexico and also in the UK. They're fighting a little earlier on Saturday, so it's not the middle of the night in the UK, not as bad, at least anyway, in the UK for this bout. Because again, in England, Saunders is a bigger deal. There will probably be a couple of million that will watch as fight fans in the UK to watch him fight Canelo Alvarez. I just don't give him much of a shot. I think Alvarez might get, as I was saying in the roundtable segment, Alvarez might get him like in the late rounds on a stoppage. I don't know that it goes the distance, Brian.
What time frame do you think the Canelo will head to the ring?
My understanding is it was going to be somewhere around 9 Eastern time, 8 local time. And the reason, again, they're doing that is still going to be like 1 a.m. in England. They aren't going to do it much earlier than that because, again, you've got a huge Western audience, West Coast audience, and in Mexico, most of Mexico is in the mountain or the Western time zone, the Pacific time zone. So you want it to be later in the evening for more of those purchases, DAZN or pay-per-view in Mexico. So it's not going to be much earlier than like 9 Eastern time, something like that, that they would fight. And still, it's going to be some atmosphere to watch this. And I'm just glad that we're getting back into some of the normalcy with the vaccine and the COVID restrictions being lifted. You're going to see bonkers at AT&T Stadium on Saturday night for this fight. All right, Brian, we have come to the end here of Three Dog Thursday. One more plug for you, your social media, your sites on everything, including the NBA in particular this time of year. Plug away, my friend.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Vegas B. Edwards. You can find my picks on VegasInsider.com. You can find my content on MajorWager.com and also do a lot of, if you're looking for NBA injury info, I do that from the Major Wager Twitter account at Major Wager Uno, U-N-O. As always, TJ, thanks for having me, brother. And and all of you go make your bet on Kyle Pitts to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at anywhere from 10 to 12 to 1 odds. It's money in the bag.
Unless my Buccaneers have some say-so in the two games in the NFC South. And we learn the NFL schedule next week. Are my Buccaneers opening on that Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys? Are they opening on the Thursday night opener, raising the Super Bowl banner against the Buffalo Bills? Is it another team on the Bucs schedule? Probably not a division team. We'll see.
Right.
But very interesting on Pitts there now in Atlanta and within the division.
He's going to be good, TJ. Your secondary is going to have some problems.
I'm looking forward to all of it. And again, keep it locked in on Brian's NBA plays. Again, that Lakers situation we were talking about earlier, playing the Clippers Thursday night, playing the Blazers on Friday night. Brian will have info on his Twitter handle at Vegas B. Edwards on MajorWager.com about those games and all the plays this weekend in the NBA, including the underdogs. Brian, thank you.
My man, thank you. Have a good one, brother.
There we go. There's Brian Edwards. We thank you for finding us. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts to Three Dog Thursday. We thank you for finding us through the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We're back next week with another edition of the only digital radio show that hones in on those doggies. It is Three Dog Thursday. Bye.